we? We want to enter the new year well, living for Jesus. We want to set spiritually healthy goals and make spiritually healthy changes. We want to be blessed by God during the new year. And as a Christian, a common goal is to grow closer to Christ and more like Christ by reading the Bible and or listening to the Bible read. Unto that end, maybe you have purchased a new devotional to start the year, or maybe you have picked a Bible reading plan that you want to use during 2024, or maybe you are looking for a Bible reading plan. If you are looking for a devotional or Bible reading plan, I encourage you to check out the Worship Throughout the Week cart that's out there, either in the social hall or library. I didn't check it out this morning. The cart displays good devotionals and resources. And if you get the First Church emails that are sent out once a week with the worship bulletin and the announcements, yesterday's email included a couple of Bible reading plans and also a link to a bigger selection of Bible reading plans. We'll be sending out that material all throughout the month of January. If you're not on our email list, call the church office. We'll be glad to add you. Also know there are helpful apps that you can use. The Blue Letter Bible is one I was introduced to this past year. You can select the ESV version in that app or other versions of the Bible, along with a reading plan that the app will take you through. And the app also has an excellent interlinear concordance if you want to look up the Hebrew or Greek words that are translated. For a free app, the Hebrew and Greek it provides is very nice. I was glad to see that. And the ESV translation has its own app. There is a free version, also a paid version. It too offers Bible reading plans and Bible reading playlists as well. So there are many, many ways to continually be in the Word of God. I encourage you to set such a goal. Now, with that encouragement, I'm going to take us this morning to a scripture passage, James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25, and call us to read well and listen well to the Bible. Because merely reading and or hearing the words of the Bible is not enough. We must read and listen well. I decided to preach this sermon because of my study of the Westminster Standards, which are the confessions held to by the Presbyterian Church in America. As we heard this morning, we are approaching a vote on joining the Presbyterian Church in America. Pastor Matt and I and the council and officers in training are studying those confessions, our confessions and those confessions. And during our evening worship service, Pastor Matt and I plan to do a series of sermons on the Westminster Confession of Faith. It's our goal to help you see it fits beautifully with our current confession. So we hope you will come on Sunday evenings and learn with us about the Westminster Confession of Faith. And from time to time, we may also introduce you to some of the questions and answers from the Westminster Larger Catechism and Shorter Catechism. And that's what I'm going to do this morning because, as I just said, I decided to preach the sermon as I've been studying the larger and shorter catechisms. Both the larger catechism and the shorter catechism ask some very helpful questions about the Word of God. The larger catechism asks, how is the Word of God to be read? It answers, the Holy Scriptures are to be read with an high and reverent esteem of them, with a firm persuasion that they are the very Word of God, and that He only can enable us to understand them, with desire to know, believe, and obey the will of God revealed in them, with diligence and attention to the matter and scope of them, with meditation, application, self-denial, and prayer. That answer rightly points out that reading the Bible well involves belief, attitude, actions. It's a great answer, very full answer. And the Shorter Catechism, called Shorter because it gives concise, summarized answers that are easier to memorize, combines two questions from the Larger Catechism, the one we just read, and another as well. The Shorter Catechism asks, how is the word to be read and heard that it may become effectual to salvation? It gives a summarized answer. That the word may become effectual to salvation, we must attend thereunto with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Receive it with faith and love. Lay it up in our hearts and practice it in our lives. That, too, is a great answer in which we see that the mere reading of the Word of God is not enough. And this morning, we will see that both these answers come from the Bible. The Bible calls us to read the Bible well. The passage we're going to focus on is James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Before we read this passage, I want to point out that it is very clear James is writing to Christians. James is writing to the church. He's writing to us. On the screen, I'm showing you three phrases from chapter 1 of James. And notice how James addresses his readers. Verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Verse 19, know this, my beloved brothers. James is clearly writing to those who have publicly professed faith in Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. He's writing to the church. He's writing to us. So let's read and listen with that understanding. If you're able, I ask you to stand for the reading. We do stand in honor of God, recognizing that this is His holy, inspired word to us. We begin with verse 21. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Let's pray. Father God Almighty, we thank you for your holy word. We know it is sufficient for life, for faith, for our relationship with you, for abundant life that you give. And so, Father, we pray that this morning you would help us to learn from these words we have read about your word, about reading your word, about practicing your word. Open our hearts and minds, and may we respond rightly unto your glory and our joy in your glory. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Instructions for reading the word. That's what we're going to take note of from this passage. And I'm going to title the first instruction, Read the Word of God with Preparation. We need to prepare ourselves because in this life we are always fighting against our sinful nature. So we need to prepare ourselves to read. Look at verse 21. Before we read the word, James tells us, he commands us to put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. Reading those words, we might think James is addressing criminals or something, but I remind you, he's writing to the church, and he's talking about our sins, the way God sees our sins, all lust, greed, deception, unrighteous anger is filthy in the eyes of God, and we need to repent of our sins with a desire to be more like Christ before we open the Bible to read. I will explain what James is saying this way. If you're not repenting of known sin, You are already rebelling against God. You're rebelling against what he's already made known to you in his word. If you're not repenting of known sin, you're already pushing away his word if you're not repenting of known sin. Therefore, you're not ready to really read his word well. Your reading will likely go in one ear and out the other. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't read the word of God in that state, for it's always good to read the word of God, for God might be gracious to you and grab hold of your heart and bring you to repentance through his word at that moment. But the point is this: if you want to read well the word of God, if you want to draw close to God and enjoy God as you read his word, then prepare your heart by first of all repenting of known sin. I'll get specific for a moment to help us think about what this passage is saying. This very night, New Year's Eve, can be a very fun night, celebrating the beginning of the new year with friends and family. But it also can be a night of temptation, namely the temptation to drink too much alcohol, which the Bible clearly tells us not to do. For instance, Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery." Being drunk is sin. The Bible states that very clearly. You don't want alcohol controlling your thoughts and your actions. You want the Spirit of God controlling your thoughts and your actions. Now, if you ignore that command, if you blow it off and say, well, you know, drinking too much every now and then, that's not a big deal, and then you start the new year reading the Bible, well, you're not going to be reading it very well, for your heart will already be hard toward his word. You will already be pushing away something his word clearly tells us. And that's just one example of this need to prepare by putting away our wickedness. We need to repent of all known sin if we're going to read the Bible well. The Apostle Peter tells us the same truth. I'll add what Peter says to the screen. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation." The pure spiritual milk is the word of God, the truths declared to us in the word of God, the foundational truths. They're Christians to read well. We have to want, first of all, to remove whatever sin is in our lives. We have to long to truly be more like Christ. We have to long for the truth, for righteousness. Preparing our hearts by examination and repentance is part of reading well. That's one instruction. A second instruction is that we are to receive the word of God with meekness. This instruction is also in verse 21, which says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word." James speaks of the word as the implanted word because, as I earlier showed, he's writing to Christians. If you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit has already used his word to give you life. Scholars call that regeneration. The Holy Spirit fills you, and he has used the word of God to change you. So James speaks of the word as implanted in you. And what he says here means we are to receive the word without our minds and hearts proudly being predetermined as to what we believe. I will seek to help us think about this instruction by asking you this question. Have you ever read something by someone you know you disagree with? For instance, think of a journalist or a news outlet you know you disagree with. Now, that's not very hard to do, is it? Both the left and the right have news outlets they strongly disagree with. Well, when you read an article by those outlets, by those journalists, how do you read? I think we would agree we easily read in order to critique the article. We easily read with our guard up. We easily read to convince ourselves that we are right, the journalist is wrong. We all easily do that. And sadly, we can read the Bible the same way. We can read it with pride. We can read it with our hearts and minds predetermined about what is true, what is right, what is good. I'll give you an extreme example from recent history. In 1985, a group was founded called the Jesus Seminar. The group was made up of so-called biblical scholars. Here is a quote from the website of the Westar Institute, which put the Jesus Seminar together. The seminar met twice a year to debate technical papers that were prepared and circulated in advance. At the close of debate on each agenda item, scholars voted using colored beads to indicate the degree of authenticity of the words and deeds attributed to Jesus in the Gospels. Dropping colored beads into a box soon became a trademark of the Jesus Seminar. Among the findings is that in the judgment of the Jesus Seminar scholars, about 18% of the sayings and 16% of the deeds attributed to Jesus in the gospel are authentic. Or in other words, these so-called biblical scholars have ignored 80% of what Jesus said and did. They have read the Bible to critique it. They read the Bible predetermined to make it say what they want it to say. And it's quite clear they don't want the Bible to say much. For instance, I've read that they accepted only two words of the Lord's Prayer as authentic words of Jesus. Only two words from the Lord's Prayer, the words, "Our Father." That's it. Just "Our Father." The rest of the prayers we know it was not from Jesus according to them. We hear that and we think, wow, that's just crazy. But here's the deal. That is an extreme example of what we easily do to some level. We all easily read the Bible looking for a way to dismiss what we don't like. Looking for a way to make ourselves feel good. Looking for a way to shape and mold Jesus so that he's just like us. James tells us, don't do that. Rather, receive the word with meekness. Open the Bible humbly. Open the Bible ready to let it shape and mold you. Open the Bible willing and ready to have your mind changed about what is true, right, and good. The larger catechism says the Holy Scriptures are to be read with an high and reverent esteem of them, with a firm persuasion that they are the very Word of God. When we pick up the Bible and read, we should realize we're listening to the King of Kings. We're listening to the one who created us in all things, and so we should, so to speak, read with bended knee before our King. The shorter catechism says we should receive the word with faith and love. The Bible is truth with a capital T. We need to read it without understanding. Listen to what the prophet Isaiah said about this. This is a great verse. And then Isaiah chapter 66, verse 2, God is speaking through the prophet, and God says, "But this is the one to whom I will look, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." Pick it up knowing this is the holy word of God. Tremble at it. God is speaking. That's how you read it. When you read the word of God with that hard attitude, God is going to speak to you through his word. His words will at times be uncomfortable. His words may even fill you with fear, but his holy word will also be full of grace and mercy and beauty. Receive the word with meekness. That attitude is how we read well the word of God. That's a second instruction from our passage in James. And a third instruction I will title this way: read the word diligently to remember it and practice it. Read to get the word in your heart and mind so that you can obey it as you go throughout your day. James makes this point with a helpful analogy, an analogy we all can easily grasp because it involves something we all do every day, namely we look into a mirror. Matter of fact, looking into a mirror might be one of the first things you do in the year 2024. We very well might do exactly what James mentions in verses 23 and 24. We might look at ourselves in the mirror tomorrow, walk away from that image and forget what we see in order to be a couch potato the rest of the day, right? We might not want to shave. We might not want to put on makeup. We might not want to comb our hair. We might want to walk away from the mirror to the coffee pot, to the couch to watch the parade as we begin the year. Or if you're my age, you might look into the mirror, immediately forget that you're not getting any younger and go out and do something, you know, that your body's not ready to do or something like that. We all understand the analogy James gives us. A mirror does not help us if we don't look at it intently, looking for what needs to be addressed, what we need to do. And a mirror is not going to help us if we walk away and forget what we see. If you are a member here, you know I had some basal cell cancer removed from my forehead very recently. I had to look intently into the mirror and accept the fact that I had a spot on my head that wasn't right. And I had to follow up on that spot. You know, I had to make an appointment and get the spot checked and then get it removed. That was action I had to take after looking in the mirror. If I'd looked into the mirror and thought, well, you know, that spot doesn't look right, but then immediately forgot what I'd seen and stopped thinking about what I'd seen in the mirror, which, by the way, I did do for a little while, what James is saying is easy to do. And if I'd kept doing that, well, I would still have a problem, wouldn't I? And likewise, the Word of God is not going to help us if we casually read it and walk away from it, forgetting it, not giving any thought about how to put it into practice. We are called to be hearers and doers of the Word. I have to read it diligently, intently, seeking to understand it well, learn from it, remember it, so we can obey it. And that takes time. It takes effort. You can't just approach this casually. The Bible's not always an easy book to read. The Bible is made up of history, poetry, wisdom, prophecies, commandments. The Bible was written over thousands of years and involves different cultures. So while some of it is very easy to understand, some of it's hard to understand. It takes work to read it and understand it so that we can rightly apply it and live it. If you have been through my Starting Point class, you know that I recommend getting a good study Bible. A study Bible is a great tool with a wealth of helpful information in it. The ESV study Bible is a good study Bible, so is the Reformation study Bible. Either one of these tools will help you understand well the Bible. Study Bibles like these two give very helpful notes, articles, introductions to each book of the Bible. For instance, our passage this morning is from the book of James. Well, here is part of the introduction to James in the ESV study Bible. James' primary theme is living out one's faith, being a doer, not just a hearer of the word. This theme is developed in view of the social conflict between rich and poor and the spiritual conflict between factions in the church. James rebukes his readers for their worldliness and challenges them to seek divine wisdom in working out these problems and getting right with God. That's a good, helpful summary of the main theme of James. And the introduction to James gives you other helpful information as well about the book. And then as you are reading the book of James, well, then it provides helpful notes. For instance, here's a note on the passage we're looking at this morning. Quote, James 1:21, put away all filthiness, pictures the stripping off of dirty clothing. And it gives there some passages, other passages for you to look at concerning that. Put away all filthiness, pictures the stripping off of dirty clothes based on a desire to have nothing to do with the dirt, here, moral evil ever again. In place of filthy behavior, the implanted word must take root in God's people. This idea of God planting his revealed truth reflects Deuteronomy 13, 14. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. And especially the new covenant of Jeremiah 31, 33. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts. That's a good, helpful note that gives you some understanding. Gives you insight into what James is saying. It takes you to other passages to learn more of what James is saying from the greater context of the Bible. And there are many, many notes like that in a good study Bible. So I encourage you to get one and use it. Read the intro, read the notes. And if you are very, very new to the Bible, if you've never read much of the Bible, I also encourage you. This may sound strange, but I encourage you to think about reading a really excellent children's Bible, one that is very consistent to the Bible but simply shortens it, so you can quickly get a grasp of the big picture of the Bible. The one I recommend is by Catherine Voss. This book gives you the Bible without the genealogies and poetic prophecies and such things. Those things that make it rather harder to read. The Children's Bible simply gives you the history of the Bible. It gives you the historical passages. It summarizes them for children, but it does so in a way that's faithful to the Scriptures, oftentimes just quoting the Scriptures. I'm not suggesting you use this instead of the Bible. I'm suggesting you use it to quickly get an idea of the flow of the Bible. By reading through a kid's children's Bible, you can learn every major event and every major person in the Bible. If you're new to the Bible, very new to the Bible, this will help you read through the actual Bible, which of course is the goal. Get a good grasp of the flow and then read the Bible. Another idea for those who have never read through the whole of the Bible is to read a book like this, What's in the Bible by R.C. Sproul. The intro to this book says this, this book is an overview. R.C. and Robert have highlighted the essence of God's voice, activity, and purpose throughout the Old and New Testaments, and they've done their best to deliver this to you in an interesting and thoroughly readable form. The book is divided into 17 chapters, which cover major groupings of Bible books. Each chapter is broken down into smaller sections, focusing on a more specific period of time, a pivotal theme, or a major Bible character. R.C. and Robert's hope is that the book will provide you with a roadmap that will help you to better comprehend the whole of Scripture and to begin or enhance your daily walk with its author, the sovereign God of the universe. Reading a book like that can, again, give you a good overview that helps you read the actual Bible. And that's the call. Read the Bible. Read it diligently, intently. We have to study the Bible. And as we study the Bible, we're called to remember it so that we can practice it, so we can obey it. That means we need to work on memorizing some passages. No matter how old we are, we should work on memorizing some key passages. Listen to what Psalm 119 says. I've stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I've stored it up here in my heart so that I might not sin against you, so that I might live it, so that I might obey it, practice it. That is a wonderful, wise verse. If you want to live well during 2024, if you want to draw close to God and become more and more like Christ, store up the Word of God in your heart by learning it, memorizing it, loving it. Read the Word of God diligently to remember it, practice it. That's the third instruction. Saying that leads to my last point this morning, which I'm going to call read the Word with expectation. Read it with expectation, glad expectation. Listen again to the end of verse 21 of our text. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. That statement is not merely about salvation from hell. That statement is telling us the word of God saves our souls from foolishness, from meaninglessness, from worthless, painful living. It saves our souls from all of that. The very word of God will help you live well during 2024 and always. Listen again to verse 25. It says, the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. He will be blessed. Just note those last words. This passage is telling us that those who read the Bible well, those who are diligent to study it, remember it, obey it, will be blessed. Do you know what the word blessed means? It means truly happy, deeply happy, happy on the inside, happy even when things are really hard, happy even when there's tears and grief, because you know God is with you and his love can never be taken away from you. I have visited many Christians from this church who are in pain or grieving, physical pain or grieving, who also have a deep-seated joy in their hearts. I've seen that so many times. Just there's pain there, but there's joy. Just joy in Christ. They know they have an eternity with God ahead of them. They know the best is yet to come. They know they're someday going to see God. When you have that deep-seated joy, that sure knowledge that God is with you always, you are blessed. You are blessed thoroughly. In a way, nothing can take it away from you. That blessing comes from reading well the Word of God. So, dear friends, start the new year well. Pick up the Word and read it. Read it with expectation. Read it diligently to remember it. Practice it. Read it with meekness. Read it with preparation. The preparation to read is something we can begin to do in this worship service. For preparation starts with an examination of our lives and the confession of our sin. And that is also how we should come to the Lord's table, which, Lord willing, will be set before us next week on the first Sunday of the year. So here's what we're going to do in response to this sermon that we've heard and in preparation for the Lord's Supper next week. Here's what we're going to do. First, we're going to sing a hymn about the law of God. The hymn is called, The Law of God is Good and Wise. You can go ahead and pull up that first slide of the hymn on the screen, and I'm going to invite the worship team to come up at this time to lead us in that. Now, after we sing this hymn, I am then going to read the law of God from Exodus chapter 20. Now, those words will not be on the screen. I encourage you to just listen. Listen with meekness. Listen with humility. Let the Word of God convict you. Let it transform you. Let it be a mirror that you look into intently. Let the law show you what needs to be addressed in your life. I'll read Exodus 20. Just sit and listen, contemplate. And then after I read the law, I will lead us in a prayer of confession.